We shall now turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 64. The book of Psalms and Psalm 64. I'd like us to study this psalm tonight, but we'll read it through first of all. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doings. So we see that we have here another psalm of David. And in this psalm, he's talking about his enemies. David had many enemies, but he also had a great friend. God was his friend. And if God be our friend, who cares about the enemies? If God be for us, who dare be against us? But we don't just have David in this psalm. We also have the Lord Jesus Christ here. It's a messianic psalm. And all the psalms really can be interpreted in a messianic way. And when we think of Jesus, again, we think of one who had many enemies, who was constantly surrounded by them. They were as dogs they compassed me about, the wicked that did meet in their assembly, me enclosed. They pierced my hands and feet, as we were singing earlier. How many enemies Jesus had, but also how victorious he was. He was more than a conqueror. And having gained victory over every enemy and over Satan himself, he ascended up to heaven, where God is glorifying him with the glory that he had with him before the world was. So first of all, here tonight, verse 1, we see the importance of prayer. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Whatever we need, whatever our troubles, whatever perplexities and burdens and fears and difficulties, pray. Remember the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's always valuable to pray. Cast thy burden on the Lord. How? In prayer. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do you come? You come in prayer, you come in faith, you come with all your concerns and your troubles, the burdens of your sins and the burdens of your worries and fears, and you discover the peace that passes knowledge. Be Be careful for nothing. Careful. How full of cares we are. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. God delights in our prayers. And he helps us to pray. And he gives us help against our enemies when we pray. The trouble with us is that God has to send enemies in order to make us pray. You know, when everything's going well with you, when life is peaceful, joyful, happy, full of pleasure, and you've not got an ache or a pain or a care in the world, do you pray? Well, yes, maybe little prayers, lifeless prayers, sleepy prayers. But when you're in trouble, when you're in pain, when problems are crushing in upon you, you get away and you get on your knees before God, don't you? Sadly, we need enemies to chase us to the throne of grace to pray. But why is there so much? Why is there so much in this book of Psalms about prayer? Why is there so much about enemies? Well, because we're living in enemy territory. And you've got to remember that you once were a servant of Satan. You were one of his followers. You were one devoted to the devil's service. And now you've given up Satan's service and you've joined Christ, his enemy. So Satan's not happy. He doesn't like losing any of his followers. And Satan views you as a traitor. And because of that, you have enemies. But also think of this. You used to be one that belonged to Satan's kingdom. But now, you're a citizen of heaven. So you're a citizen of heaven, living in Satan's world. In the domain of the prince of this world. So if you're one of heaven's citizens, it's like you're a spy in a foreign country. Your allegiance is to the enemy. And you're behind enemy lines. So don't be surprised if the prince of darkness hates you. And don't be surprised if the citizens of Satan's kingdom try to make life difficult for you and oppose you. And that's why, as Christians, we have many enemies and always will have as long as we're in this world, because the world is the enemy of God. Verse 2. Hide me from secret counsel, the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Secret plotting. Well, David knew plenty about that, didn't he? Remember how Doeg the Edomite secretly plotted against him and told Saul about him and didn't tell the truth but lies and spoke about how the priests, Ahimelech the priest, was inquiring of God for him and encouraging him in rebellion, so that Doeg succeeded in getting the priests massacred. Even worse than that, you remember the Ziphites, David's fellow tribes people. They were Jews, relatives of David. And they went to Saul and they said, "Do you know, David's living amongst us. Come down and we'll betray him to you." Secretly plotting against David. But also the Lord's anointed, Jesus Christ. How many he had plotting against him. We think of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and Pilate and the Romans, kings of the earth combining, plotting together against the Lord's anointed. And we think of the secret plotting of Judas, one of Jesus' 12 apostles, going to the Jews and taking ...30 pieces of silver... selling Jesus for a measly 30 pieces of silver... The secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. As bees they compass me about. Psalm 118. You can see them buzzing all around Christ, all these enemies. Buzzing around him, seeking to sting him. Not just bees, but bulls of Bashan. All these bulls charging at him, bellowing at him. The bulls of Bashan surrounding him. Verses 3 and 4. Who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect one, Jesus Christ, but also the Lord's people, who are perfect in the sense of being mature and godly. Suddenly they do they shoot at him and fear it not. Their tongue is sharpened like a sword. We were reading earlier, weren't we, in 2 Samuel 16 about Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite. How sharp his tongue was. Sharpened. "Come out, thou bloody man, come out. Now judgments come upon you and God is against you. And you've shed so much blood from the house of Saul. And your son is going to be given your throne and God's against you. And judgment has come upon you and vengeance is upon you. Come out, you bloody man." And he cursed him and cursed him and threw stones at him and threw mud upon David. His tongue sharpened like a sword. Well, you remember the same sort of thing happened to Jesus. They said, "Thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. You're a devil-possessed Samaritan." The Samaritans were loathed by the Jews. "Thou that destroyest the temple." He didn't destroy the temple, they did. They called him a blasphemer and a Sabbath breaker. "He saved others, ha ha. Himself he cannot save." Well, that was the treatment that Jesus got. Remember what he said to us? "Beware when all men speak well of you. For so did they of the false prophets. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you, shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do everyone speak well of you? Do you have any enemies? Do you sometimes get a sneer and a mocking word spoken to you? Don't let it bother you. Even when they sharpen their tongues like a sword in order to hurt you, don't answer back. Don't try and get your own revenge. Be like David, who said, let him curse. God had said to him to curse. Let him curse. If my own son who came out of my own bowels seeks my life, how much more this Benjamite? Maybe God will hear what he's saying. And God will pity me. Isn't it wonderful to be able to leave revenge to God? Hand it over to him. Maybe God will hear. Surely God will hear. Because God loves his people. And God cares for them. And those who speak evil of God's people, they'll pay for it. Verse 5, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see it? Well, there's many and they think, who shall see it? And one doesn't know what's going on in our Scottish Parliament at the moment. And there's all kinds of accusations going on. And no doubt things happened. And people were saying to themselves, who shall see it? Who shall find out? But be sure your sins will find you out. It's amazing how things do come out. How the truth in the end comes out. And people think they can cover it all up. But they forget that God is watching. God is always watching. He sees your every act. He hears your every word. He reads your every thought. I was reading the story of John Graham of Ardclough. He was a godly young minister in the 18th century in the Highlands of Scotland. He stayed for a while with a certain minister. He was acting as his assistant. One of the minister's daughters wanted to marry him. And he wouldn't accept her wishes. So she decided she would get her own back on him. And she started accusing him of being an alcoholic. And placing all kinds of bottles of whiskey in different places and saying to people, come and see what he's doing. Come and see how he's living. See what he's got under his pillow, she would say. Take some of the servants in to see where she had placed this bottle under his pillow and so forth. And so, poor John Graham, he was falsely accused and for a time lost his reputation. But thankfully, in the end, the truth came out. A godly minister died at the age of 28, but his short life had a great impact. But there was one out to destroy him. And from time to time, these sort of things will happen. But God is seen, and God will punish. God will vindicate his own people. Cast yourself upon the Lord. Leave your reputation in his hands. Beware of every appearance of evil. And don't do anything that would give the wrong impression. But as much as you can, walk in the light and leave yourself in His hands. The Lord Jesus Himself was the soul of vile drunkards. Psalm 69. The song of vile drunkards. Out of the roaring lion's mouth do thou me shield and save. Yes, sometimes we can be confronted by horrible things, but yet we cast ourselves upon the Lord. We look to Him, we trust in Him, we leave our lives and our reputation in His hands, and He will look after us. Verse 6. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. It's amazing how deep the heart can be. Deep, like a great depth of wickedness. A great ocean of iniquity within somebody's heart and soul. Remember Saul and the deep hatred he had for David. David gave him no reason whatsoever for him to hate him. Remember how Jonathan tried to reason with his father. But David, he's been so faithful. Who's been more faithful than David? Remember how David killed Goliath. Remember the victory that God gave to you through David. Why are you trying to kill him? But the heart is a deep, a great depth of wickedness in certain hearts. You can see it in the hearts of the Jews. Even Pilate, the Roman, the governor, he could see in the faces of the Jews that it was for envy, for bitter, malicious envy that they had handed over Jesus. And we look today and we see Islamists in the world involved in cruel butcheries against God's children. Horrible things carried out by them in the name of God and in the name of religion. How terrible the great wickedness that is in the heart of man. We think of President Xi in China and his oppression of the church. How evil. The heart is a depth, a deep pit of sin. Verse 7, God shall shoot at them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded. How often God does that, and suddenly judgment comes down upon the wicked. Think of Abimelech. Remember how wicked Abimelech was, how he killed the 70 sons of his father, murdered him. He was so evil. But God shot an arrow at him. And a woman threw a bit of a millstone from the roof of a tower, and it hit him on his head and killed him. Slain by a woman. Or think of King Ahab. Remember how King Ahab was so wicked and murdered Naboth, the godly Naboth, in order to possess his vineyard. Remember how he put Micaiah the prophet into prison, feeding him with just bread and water, the bread of affliction and water. But God shot an arrow at him. An arrow from the Syrians, shot at random. And it pierced through the joints in his armor and reached his heart. Killed him. Proud Ahab, killed. Proud Absalom. You remember how he was so vain with his long hair, and how his hair caught in a thicket, in a in a branch of a tree. And Joab completed the firing of the darts through his heart, an arrow from the Almighty. I was reading about Donald Cargill, the Covenanter. He was tried by the court in Edinburgh, and one of his judges was a Lord Rothes, and this judge was threatening him with all kinds of torture and horrible death. And in the end, Donald Cargill said to him, "I'm going to die, but you won't see my death. You'll be dead before me." God shot an arrow at him suddenly. After the trial, Lord Rothes got sick, and very sick. And in the end, he was aware that he was dying. And he was roaring because his conscience was condemning him. People couldn't stay with him. He was yelling because he could see hell opening up to receive him for all the cruelty that he had done to godly covenanters. God shot an arrow at him suddenly and brought him down. Beware of being an enemy of God's people. Beware. God will defend his own. Verse 8. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. Remember Korah, Dathan and Abiram, how they spoke against Moses. And they claimed to be just as good as Moses. And they thought Moses was taking too much upon himself. Well, you remember what happened. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And they fell down alive into the pit. And you remember what their friends and relatives did. How they fled away from them, running for their lives. All that see them shall flee. Yes, they fled from them. But there was no fleeing for Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Swallowed up alive by the earth. Verse 9. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall consider of his doings. The fear of God shall come upon all. Eventually that's going to happen. For some, they fear God in this life. Others, it's only in the next life. Do you fear God now? Now is the time to give honor to God. To remember your Creator. It's too late to fear God when death comes and you're found under his wrath and his curse. Fear God now. Prepare now. And all men shall fear and declare the work of God. Remember at the cross of Christ, there was a centurion there who was in charge of the crucifixion. How the centurion and others who were there said, "Surely this was a man of God. Surely this was the Son of God," they said. They saw him die. And the fear of God came upon them. Truly this was a righteous man. Remember Patrick Hamilton, the early martyr of the Reformation, died in 1528, burnt to death in St. Andrews at the age of 24. And all that was said, on whom the reek of Patrick Hamilton fell, were affected by it. The smoke, as it were, of burning Patrick Hamilton was used for the conversion of many. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Fear of God, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. And then the final verse 10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. The righteous shall be glad. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoice in the promises. Rejoice in the care that the Lord has for you, his providence and his grace. Rejoice. There's a blessed future before you. A wonderful heaven which God is preparing for you. There may be trials and troubles in this life, but you're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. God is on your side. Why bother about what man can do? The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for thine own word and all its promises and its comfort and its encouragement. May thy word bear fruit in our lives. Grant, O Lord, that more and more we would be conformed to the image of Christ, and that we would be followers of Jesus, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following the Master. Pardon us our sins for Jesus' sake.